Can you believe it's May? I mean, it's the fifth month, and it's May, but it feels like June. Didn't it feel like June this week, or if it's just me? It's just flying by, and I'm just going, man, it's just time is going. And this morning, I want to wrap up our sermon, the series we've been talking about, Ask It. I got my little Ask It ball, and, you know, we've been trying to wrestle with, how do we answer some of those questions? You know, I want a 60-inch TV. I've been sharing with you about my journey for my 60-inch TV, so I thought I would decide this morning. Laura's in the lobby. She doesn't need to know. Let's see. Oh, crud. Don't count on it. Well, I guess that's my decision. Don't guess. She's looking at me, shaking her head. Yeah. How do we decide? You know, now what is that question? Remember, we got one question that kind of answers all questions for us. One question that kind of brings clarity to those decisions we have to make. And that question is what? What is the wise thing for me to do? Let's do this together. I didn't hear enough of you on this, all right? So one, two, three. What is the wise thing for me to do? What's the wise thing for me to do? Not what I need to do, not what I should do, not what I think I should do, but what is the wise thing for me to do? We based it on this one scripture here in Ephesians, and it's there on your outline. I encourage you to get that out. Be very careful then how you live. This is great wisdom. Be careful how you live. Think about how you live. Think about your choices. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. And we've been wrestling with this question, what is the wise thing for me to do? We kind of looked at when I was kind of a few years ago, when I was younger, we had this WWJD. Everybody, what is that? What would Jesus do? And that's a good question. What would Jesus do? But the reality is, some of the things Jesus did, I can't do. All right? I don't think I should go out and try to walk across the river. You know, I just don't think that's very wise. I'm going to walk across. I told you I walked across Donner Lake, well, 30 feet out before I fell through the ice. But, you know, and so that really doesn't answer all those questions. And so then we talked about, well, what is the wise thing for me to do in light of my past experiences, my current hopes and dreams, and my current hopes and dreams, and my future hopes and dreams? What's the wise thing for me to do? You know, as I look at life and as I make those, what's the wise thing? We wrestle with, what's this wise thing? What is God's will? Really what we're after is, what's God's will? What does God want me to do? You know? And I thought about, well, we played games and we had these pros and cons and it was fun. My Monday night group comes to my house and several of them said, I do need a 60-inch TV. They bought into it with me. You know? And you know, we're going to do another Bible study and show a video. It'd be nice to have the big TV. See, it's a God thing, right? That's what God wants. You know? How do we answer those? You know, do I buy a new car or do I buy a used car? Do I buy this house or do I buy that house? You know, how do I deal with my finances? How do I deal with my relationships? How do I make those decisions? You know, do I go to this party? You know, how do we make those decisions? Now, we know the moral decisions. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Those are pretty easy. But you come to a question about buying a 60-inch TV. How do we wrestle with that? Where is God? What is God's will? Now, I'm going to ask you, you think God really has a will about me having a 60-inch TV? How many think that? Nobody? I see one hand. You need to know, I believe God does have a will about me having a TV. All right? Yeah? I believe God cares about what size my TV is. You guys laugh at it, but I believe that. I believe God has a plan, and all of those little, you know, it's like, no, that's not much of a, it's just a TV. No, it's $1,000 debt. But I saved, it's on sale, so I saved $200. Come on. How do we wrestle with these things? You know, what's the wise thing to do? But here's the challenge, and here's what I want to talk about this morning. Knowing the wise thing and doing the wise thing is two different things. Anybody? Knowing what we should do, knowing how I should do it, and yet doing it is two different things. I drove, Law and I, a few weeks ago, drove Highway 1. I wanted to see the coast, so we went to San Francisco and drove all the way from San Francisco all the way down to Pismo Beach on Highway 1. Just, I wanted to see it and see the bridges and took some pictures. And then this week we had a meeting in Fresno. I got in my car and I drove to Fresno. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of moronic drivers in Fresno. You know, I mean, you know, it's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, because you need to know something. I am a good driver. Somebody's coughing. I'm not only a good driver, I am a great driver. I know how to drive. I have been driving since I was 12 years old, just a few years ago. Come on, help me out here. You know? And because see, my dad had a shop, and I was driving. You know, I was driving a forklift, I was driving trucks, you know, I am a good driver. I've taken a car 65 miles an hour minimum down the freeway and had a blowout. Car turned sideways, you just driving down the road, you know, sliding down the freeway 65 miles an hour sideways, you know, and just kind of rolled off the road, popped two tires, you know. I can handle that. I'm a good driver. Am I? I started thinking about that because I have some other issues. See, I started driving when I was 15 and a half. When I was 15, I went out and got one of these books that looked like this. It was quite not as fancy as this little book. It says California Driver's Handbook. Anybody ever had one of these? Yeah. I had to go get one of these. And when I was 15, now this is probably the book I had. I didn't have that one like this one. I probably read this book more than any book I ever read when I was 15 years old. I don't care what the school gave me. I don't care what the school did. I had probably read this book more than any book when I was 15. I studied this book. We went to the mountains for a vacation. I took the book with me. I read this book. I studied this book. And at 15 and a half, I went and took my test. Anybody? Anybody? I go take my test at 15 and a half. And I'm a good driver. I'm a great driver. You know what I got on that test? I got 100%. I'm bragging, man. I got 100%. No boast, just fact. I scored 100% at 15 and a half on my driver's test. And so, you know, and then here's nice. You get your driver's license, you got a permit. But you got to have somebody ride with you. Well, I didn't want anybody riding me, so I went out on motorcycles. If you got a permit, you can ride on a motorcycle with just a permit. Yeah, so I could go wherever I want without nobody. Yeah. But then I wanted to get my driver's license. And do you still have to have driver's training? Anybody, do you still have to have driver's training to get a driver's license? Do they still make you have driver's training? I had to pay for mine because they didn't, you know, the school wasn't doing it, and I had to pay for my driver's training. You guys are going to get some gifts up here. And I had to pay for my driver's training. And so I pay for this guy, and he comes to my house, picks me up for 5 days, takes me around down to Old Town, downtown Sacramento. I drive around downtown Sacramento. 5 days, drives around. And then I pay him extra money to use his car for the driving test. And so we go down to take the driving. We're there early because I want to get it over with. You know, I'm 16 now, and I want my license. Anybody, any boys like that? Yeah. And so I go take the driving test. And so we get there, and there's a girl in front of me. Yeah. So we got to wait. And so the instructor comes out, or the test guy comes out, and he, who's next? She's next. All right, let's get in the car. You know, she gets in the car. She goes around. She's gone for a few minutes, you know, comes back, gets out of the car, and the guy goes, you failed. And it's like, you scored 56. You failed. That's what he tells the girl. And it's like, oh, I'm screwed. Yeah, this guy's a hard nose. He, you know. But we get in the car. You know, you gesture mirrors, you do all that thing. I do the driving test. What was funny about the driving test is this. The guy that took me from the driving school took me on the same route that I drove for the driving test. So as I'm driving, I start to turn at the next third corner. I had been practicing that turn for 5 days. Yeah. And so when I got done, I get out of the car, and he says, I passed. That's all he said. And so I get with my instructor that I had paid, and we're starting to walk towards the counter. He looks at that paper and goes, "You got a 100%. I am a good driver. 100% on the written, 100% on the driving. I'm not just good, I'm great. How many here got 100%? I'm both." Yeah. Got one there doesn't even have a license yet saying he did. He's dreaming. Yeah. "I'm a great driver. I'm a good driver. I scored all those. I can drive anything except semi-trucks. I'll let others drive those things." Yeah. But am I a good driver? You want to know the truth? I'm not. I'm not a good driver. Because I pull on the freeway and that sign says 65. You know what that means? That's the minimum speed. Come on. You know? I get on the freeway and I don't usually do 65. Now, you guys look at me like I'm guilty. Don't look in the mirror, okay? Because most of you are like me. Now, come on. I mean, I'm getting ran over at 65. I get ran over at 70. But I'm a good driver. Forget the rule. Right? I'm a good driver. I drive into the mall parking lot. Lord gets mad at me. Anybody go in the mall over here at Greenwich Fair Mall? You go around the backside of that mall, there's a stop sign way back in the middle of nowhere. You know what that stop sign means? Slow down. I just drive through. I look, there's no cars coming. I just drive right on through. Yeah. Laura gets aggravated. I pull in and there's a stop sign there. It's in the mall. There's nobody around. I just drive through. But I'm a good driver. I want to ask you, am I? Really? Am I? Okay. I know the rules. I know the wise thing to do. I know what I should do. I should go 65. I should stop at the stop signs. I should. But there are times when I know better than the stop sign knows. I know better than the freeway sign knows. You know that off-ramp sign that says slow to 45? I can take that at 55. Come on, I know better. See, it's one thing to know what the wise thing to do, and it's another thing to do it. I want us to think about that this morning. If you look at it, I got really bold letters. It says, it's not enough to ask the right question. The right question is, what is the wise thing for me to do? It's not enough to ask that question. I need to do the answer. I need to listen to that answer. What is the wise thing for me to do? And not just know it, but do it. I know what all those signs mean. I told you I drove down Highway 1, and I'm going to tell you, you get some signs that say 15 miles an hour. And you know what you better do? You better go 15 miles an hour, or you better know how to swim. Yeah. Those rules are important. They matter. And here's what I want us to think about. How much do we know about God, and yet we think we know more? Yeah. That God gives us wisdom, and yet we know better. I know what I should do. I know how I should do this. And we think we know more, and we think we know it better of how we should act. See, I need to live by the rules. Matter of fact, I was flipping through this book, found a page here. DMV answer man says, "Oh, behave." It's one thing to know what's in this book as a driver. It's another thing to do it. So if you ask me if I'm a good driver, I'm going to tell you yes. But you want to know the truth? I'm not. Because I just throw the rules aside. They don't matter to me. Now, I'm not defending myself. I try to behave. I don't go 90 miles an hour. You ever see those guys? You know? But am I just as bad as him? See, we know better. See, it's not enough to know. Look at what it says here. I like this, James 4:17. Anyone who knows the right thing to do, but doesn't do it, is sinning. You mean when I go 70 miles an hour on the freeway, I'm a sinner? What do you guys think? Let's vote. When I go 70 miles an hour down the freeway, am I a sinner? Raise your hand. All right, thank you, and you're right. How about when you go 70 miles an hour down the freeway, are you a sinner? All right, I just want to make sure confession's okay for you guys too. Yeah. Because it's a fact. It's a fact. Should I buy a 60? We've been laughing, and I've been joking about buying a 60-inch TV, but I'm going to tell you, if I went out and bought a 60, I got my tax return, and I went out and bought a 60, for me, that would be sin right now. It's just a 60-inch TV. But the wise thing for me to do, and we wrestle with this, you know, it comes back to, look at this, again, 5:17, Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is it God wants me to do? See, that's the question. What's the wise thing? What is it? How is it God wants this to play out? How is this God wants this to work in my life? What is it that God wants me to do? See, here's what I want us to understand. Wisdom starts with God and it ends with God. And we need to see that. And we need to hear that. See, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, worded it this way. Look at that verse, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord, and why don't you circle that word fear? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Now, he's not talking about, I'm afraid God's going to drop a ton of bricks on me. It's not a terror of God. He's talking about a reverence and an honor of God. I gave you the definition. This is a Hebrew word, yara. I don't know if I said that right. It's been a long time since I studied Hebrew. Fear of God, reverence, piety, the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. See, it begins with God. It starts with God. A respect and an honor of God. See, we feel we're okay. We're good. I'm good. I'm not that bad. I'm good. I'm a good person. Driver, I know how to drive, but I'm not. See, we think, I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. I do most of the wise things, right? So I'm good most of the time. So I'm good. Yeah. But what's the wise thing to do? And we wrestle with this, you know, and we need to understand the rules for the highway are there for whose benefit? For mine. To keep me safe. To help me enjoy the ride. Yeah. Driving down Highway 1, I had some people that wanted to go faster than I wanted to go. And so I was pulling over and letting them go. You know, especially when they get an inch from your bumper. You know, what's the wise thing to do? Brake check them, right? You guys are laughing because you guys thought of it too. Now, come on. You know? No, pull over. Let the idiot go by. Never mind, let the guy go by. You know? You guys laugh, but that's how I think. You need to know that. But see, God's wisdom, God knows. See, I think about us as Christians. You know, this really applies to us. If you're not a Christian, you can kind of just blow this off. But if you're a Christian, you need to take this seriously. Because most of us believe God created this world, right? Well, I mean, well, we all kind of, you know, God is the creator. Isn't that where we kind of all buy into that? That God created this world. God placed us here. Breathed in our nostrils the breath of life. We are a gift from God. And God set this world, and there's rules for this world. You know, science has it. The world circles the sun every 365 days. Isn't it pretty close to that? Maybe a few seconds off, I think. You know, the moon circles the earth. You know, there's rules. This world functions on some rules. You know, and we live by those rules. There's a big rule we live by that God created. It's called gravity. Anybody? You know, we live by this rule called gravity. How many of you would say, you know what? I know God gave this rule, gravity, but I just don't like it. So I'm going to glue some feathers on my, and I'm going to get on top of my house, and I'm going to fly. You know, I just don't like that word. I just think gravity, you know, God doesn't know what he's talking about. So I'm just going to glue some feathers on and I'm going to jump off my house. You seen somebody do that, you would go, that need a padded room. You know, because it just doesn't make sense. And yet when it comes to life, God has set up some basic rules. And yet we just blow them off. And we wonder why and what went wrong. And why is this happening? See, if you look at your paper, you turn it over, and I put it this way. The beginning of wisdom is not a question, but a decision. See, it's not a question, what's the wise thing to do? It's a decision. Do you trust God? See, that's really what it is. It's that decision you hear me say all the time, God, I'm tired of doing things my way, which most of the time for Gary would be considered foolish. And God, I want to do them your way, which could be called wisdom. I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come to my life and take control. It's a decision I make. I do. I choose to do. See, we think wisdom is just knowing the right answer. I remember when I was in class in Greek, one of the first semesters at Greek at Golden Gate Seminary. And just so you know, when you did Greek, we translated the book of 1 John, and the teacher just went down the row. And he'd come to you with a word, you know, you had translated your word, and you had to tell about 7 things about this word. You know, and so he comes to me, he's going down the row, so you know what word you're going to get because you're kind of counting. Make sure I got the right answer, you know, and you're reading your words, you know it's getting near you. And he comes down to me, and he goes, okay, and I read off this da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he goes, no. Okay, what about this? And I told him, da-da-da-da, he goes, that's right. I go, well, I put that down first. He says, why didn't you go with your first impression? What's the wise thing? I knew, but I chose the wrong one. Anybody? And we wrestle with this. So last week, I gave you one word for wisdom. Remember last week? If those of you who were last week, I gave you one word. And we talked about that we can learn from others, that I might not see it coming, but somebody probably seen that thing coming in my life. You know, anybody got kids? You watch your kids making a decision, and you know where it's going to go, and you're just trying to tell them, and they're not listening. Anybody? You know, somebody seen it coming and said, there was one word you need to. Nobody remembers, right? Listen, oh, somebody got it. All right. Somebody heard me last week and remembered. You had to listen. Well, this week I'm going to give you two words. You ready? The words are understanding and submit. You got to understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, be careful how you live, not as the unwise, but as wise, making every opportunity for the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You got to understand what the will of the Lord is. You got to get, what is the wise thing you want me to do? What is it, God, you want me to do? But then after you understand what that is, you've got to submit to that wise choice. You got to say yes. You got to agree. You got to say, I'm going to do it that way. But see, here's the problem. I know what I need to do. I know how to handle this situation. I know what I should say. I know where I should go. I know if I should go to that party or not. I know if I should. We know. I don't. See, I want to challenge us. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is, and we need to submit to the will of the Lord. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. And we need to see that. But see, the problem is we think we've got this. I know exactly what I should do. I've had people tell me that. Come in and talk to me, and it's like, I know what I should do, and this is what God's word says, da 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 da. Yeah, I know, I hear what God says, but I know what I need to do. I've got this all figured out. I know I need to go 80 miles an hour down the freeway. I know I don't need to stop at the stop signs. I've got this. There's nobody coming. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's just my life. It doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't matter to anybody. It's just me, and it's okay. Anybody make decisions like that besides me in the past? Past, I said, not today. Yeah. We need to step back. What's the why? I understand. I'm going to tell you something. When I said understand, it doesn't mean you understand. Well, I know why God did that. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and I was talking, you know, isn't it funny? You're going through an experience, and you can't figure out what God is doing. Anybody been in that one? You're going through it, and you just, God, what are you doing? You know, and you can't figure it out. A year, 5 years, whatever, later, you look back, and you go, man, it makes complete sense now. Anybody ever been in that one? You know, it's just like, I don't get it. I don't. Sometimes you're going to understand it, and sometimes you don't. You don't have to understand the result. You need to understand the will of God. Because sometimes we're going to get it. God, I don't get why you want me to do that. I don't understand why you want me to go through this. I don't get why this is happening to me. God, I don't deserve this. This is not what I planned. This is not what I want. God, I don't get it. God, I don't get it. I don't understand why you're allowed. I'm a Christian. I'm doing the best I can. Why are you allowing this? And we have, anybody? Yeah. I don't understand. But you know what? I'm going to submit. There's going to be times when it makes complete sense. It makes sense. Yeah. It just adds up. Yeah. I go back and I look at my life, and Laura and I get married in June, September. We load everything in our car, drive down to L.A., Riverside, to go to college. $1,000 in the bank, no place to live, no job, and we walk on campus. Okay. You know, my kids, you know, were you going to go where? You got a job yet? Yeah. Mom sits there and goes, hey, just make sure you take some other things just in case this preaching thing don't work. Yeah. What's the wise thing to do? You know, sometimes wisdom sounds foolish to others. Am I right? You ever do something that God told you to do, and you're going, that doesn't sound wise, and yet when it ends up, it's like, whoa, God had his hand in that, didn't he? See, here's what I want you to understand. See, God has a plan for our lives. You know, as I read this book, it's supposed to keep me safe. And matter of fact, not just keep me safe, it's supposed to keep you safe too. Keep you safe from me. And from other guys and other late people out there driving. That's what this book's for. It's supposed to keep us safe when we drive. Well, see, God's word and God desires to keep us safe in life. How do you have safe relationships? How do you have safety with your finances? How do you have safety at your job? How do you have a safe marriage? How do you have that? Because see, that's what God wants. Look at what it says here. I love this Jeremiah passage, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. See, God wants to care for us. God wants to bless us. God wants to provide for us. God wants to protect us. God wants the best for us. That's God's plan for us. And wouldn't that be the wise choice to make? But not just to know it, but to decide for it and to decide to do it God's way. Yeah. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But you know, that wasn't first with him. Solomon had a father. Anybody know Solomon's father's name? David. I heard somebody say David. All right, I heard David out there. Look at what David said, Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right. That reverence for God, that awe for God is the beginning of wisdom. That's the start. All those who practice it, circle that, have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. All those who practice it. Practice it. You've got to do it. You got to live it. You can't just know the wise thing. You got to do the wise thing. And it's not a decision, and it's not a question, but it's a decision to follow God. I am God's. I trust God. I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them His way. Because if I don't trust God and I don't practice it, I'm going to be in trouble. If I continue to drive like I have, and be honestly, I've been in, let's see, how many accidents have I had? One, two. I think I've had like 4 accidents. One was mine, all right, that's all. Just one. Well, maybe that always gave me a bad time. I was with my cousin, I ran into a parked car with my cousin in the car. My wife never let me forget that one. Yeah. So let me tell you, if you keep violating the rules when you drive, you got 2 options. Well, a third, maybe. Maybe you'll get away with it for a while. But if you keep violating the rules of driving, there's 2 options that's going to happen. You're either going to get a ticket, which today, don't get a speeding ticket. Somebody else just told me, I know somebody that got a $400 plus speeding ticket. And I just talked to somebody else that got over a $500 speeding ticket. That's an expensive ticket. But yeah, somebody else, $500 plus for a speeding ticket. Yeah. So if you're lucky, you'll just get a ticket. But if you're unlucky, you're going to what? You're going to crash. And you're going to burn. See, we try to get away with life like that. We run the edge of life. I know what I should do. I know what I should do. I know what I should do. Here's the wise thing. And God's trying to guide us. But you know what? We like living on the edge. I can get away with it. I'll slip through. They won't catch me. They won't notice. Until all of a sudden, we crash. What happened in my life? Why did I do? Anybody? Anybody got regrets? You know? Anybody got heartaches? Yeah. Sorrow? Broken relationships? Financial struggles? Yeah, we got this all right. We'll walk the edge. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we crash and we go, what happened? Why is this happening to me? Anybody? I don't deserve this. I'm good most of the time. I'm a good driver. I'm a great driver. Yeah. And we try to slip through and we try to make it work. What was interesting, as I started doing this study and realized I really like this illustration of driving, because, like I say, I think I'm a good driver. But the fact is, I'm not. I mean, really. To be honest with myself, I have to say, I am not a good driver. Yeah. I'm an aggressive driver is what I call myself. Yeah. But what about life? But as I did this, you know what was funny to find? Trying to find the DMV website, type that in, you'll find DMV.org, just let me warn you, DMV.org is not the DMV, okay? DMV Driver Handbook in California, this is from their site. Guess what's the first thing you read on the site? DMV Cheat Sheet Time Saver. I'm sitting here reading this. Purchase your DMV Written Test Cheat Sheet. They want to teach you to cheat. You know? Here was another site. I love this. DMV. Matter of fact, this one doesn't hide it. DMVcheatsheets.com goes on. Click here to get your DMV cheat sheets now. Click here, all four pages. Click here, get your DMV cheat sheets. And here's this. Dear DMV cheat sheets, I have to thank you for your study guide. I originally purchased the guide because I didn't really have time to read the book. The DMV gives you. Your guide took me only 10 minutes to read, and I passed my test the first time. Cheat sheets. How many of us try to cheat? Yeah. I'm going to cheat on this test at school. Don't cheat. I got some college kids here. Don't do it. Yeah. How about this one? This is one I worry. I don't worry about me because I've tried. Well, I'm going to guard myself. How about cheating on your wife or your husband? Cheating on your test. Anybody filed? It's after April 15th. You guys all filed, right? Or you got extensions? You don't cheat. Anybody cheat on their taxes? We try to cheat life all the time. Yeah. We cheat the speed limit. We cheat the stop sign with what we call California stops. Anybody ever do those? You can get tickets for those too, you know. We try to cheat. We want to cheat life. It's like, I can get away with it. I'll be the exception. Nobody's going to notice. See, I want to challenge us as we wrap up this series on what's the wise thing to do is, the wise thing for me to do is to do the wise thing. Yeah. God gave us some very simple principles and some very basic rules, and it's, if you live this way, your life is going to be blessed. I believe I have missed a lot of trouble in my life because I made some decisions when I was 17. When I crossed that line, I'm going to do things God's way. Now, I'm not perfect. I've made my choice, my share of mistakes. Probably still got some to come. But to the best of my knowledge, God, what is the wise thing for me to do? And I'm going to do it. That's my question for you. We're wrapping up this series. You want a future with no regrets? Guess what? Do the wise thing. Yeah. You want financial security? Do the wise thing. Yeah. You want better relationships? Do the wise thing. You want a stronger marriage? Do the wise thing. Yeah. To me, it's amazing how simple it is and yet how hard we make it. It's just so tempting. It's easy. It's just a little lie. Come on, it's just a white lie, right? Come on. It's just a little cheat. Because here's what I want you to know. Look at this last passage here. Galatians 6:9. We must not become tired of doing good. I don't know about you, but sometimes it gets tiring trying to be the good person. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time if we do not give up. Eternal life. I want to make sure you understand as I wrap up the message this morning. Eternal life is not the quantity of life. I'm going to live forever. You know, we're all going to live forever. Eternal life has nothing to do with the quantity. Eternal life has to do with the quality of life. That quality of life. And what he's saying here is, when you decide to do the wise thing, and you do the wise thing, you get a quality life. Does it make sense? You get a quality life. A life that God wants, as he said earlier, he wants to prosper us. He wants to bless us. He wants to care, protect, provide. God wants to do those things for us. So I want to challenge you this morning. What's the wise thing for me to do? What's the wise thing for me to do? To submit to God. That's the wise thing. To say, God, I'm going to do it your way. If you look at your paper, I have big letters. The question, what is the wise thing for me to do? The ultimate question, am I going to do it? Are you going to do it? I don't know where it's at in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life, but are you going to do it? What's the wise thing for me to do? Am I going to try to cheat? School, boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, I'm going to try to cheat. Job, finances, I'm going to try to cheat. Or are you going to do the wise thing and do it? Yeah. I did. I thought about it. I got this book. Driver's Handbook, How to Drive. I know what all those signs mean. I was looking at it. Man, they got a page of signs in here. When you drive down Highway 1, you better obey those signs. I'll give you that hint right now. When that sign says 15 miles an hour, you better go 15. I didn't even go 15 sometimes. Yeah. But what about God's Word? Is there wisdom in this? Is there understanding and wisdom? How many of us who've had some experiences in life? You know, I thought about something this week. This week, I went to a conference in Fresno, and we bowed our heads to pray. I'm going to give you an idea. Let me give you an idea. When you bow your heads to pray, close your eyes, okay? Because if you don't close your eyes, you get to look at your hands, and you go, man, I'm getting old. You know, it's like, man, you know, my grandma had liver spots. Yeah. Close your eyes. You don't want to see them, okay? Yeah. But what I'm thinking about is this. There's something about living life and understanding more. You know what? I'm wiser now than I was when I was 17 years old. You know, walking down that aisle and that instructor, you're 16 years old and you just scored 100% on your driving. And your instructor tells you, you don't know everything. And you're like, I got 100, didn't I? Yeah. When you're 16 years old, you know what? I did know everything. Yeah. Now I'm 60 years old, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. But I do know this. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I made a decision. See, wisdom is not a question. It's a decision. It's in a decision for Jesus. I want to challenge you this morning. Have you surrendered it all to Him? All. You know, God, I got this. I got my job, God. I got my job all figured out. I handle my job. I got my marriage, God, and my marriage is, you know, and it's over, God. I got this boyfriend, God. I got this girlfriend, God. God, I got my income tax return, and I want a 60-inch TV. We laugh about that, but come on now. God, I got this. I want to challenge you this morning. Will you submit your relationships to God? Would you submit your kids to God? Even for me, my grandkids. Maybe for you, great-grandkids. I don't know. Will you submit your finances? Would you submit it all to God? What's the wise thing to do? Those choices are hard. But would you submit to God? Surrender it all. Understand the will of God and submit to Him. It's your decision. I don't know. I know what the wise thing for me is, say yes, Lord. Even before I even ask the question. Even before He even tells me the answer. Okay, God, whatever I'm going to tell you now, just show me. What's the wise thing for you to do? Will you surrender and submit it all to Him? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your words and Your truths. But I thank You for You. I thank You that You're a God who loves us. A God who cares for us. A God who provides and protects us. In spite of those decisions we make sometimes that we just ignore. And when things crash in, You're there to help pick us up when we turn. Lord, thank You for being a God of grace and mercy. You know, as we're bowing, our heads are closed, and maybe there's some battles in your life. Maybe there's some places you haven't given to God. I just wanted to ask you right now, is there something you need to give to God right now? Is there some area in your life you need to surrender? Boyfriend, girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a child, a finance, a job, a home. Is there something you need to surrender? Would you shoot your hand up? I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. If you've got some regrets and some things that you just carry around and they're just weighing you, you look and you go, how could I have done that? And you want me to pray for you? You shoot your hand up. I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I just come into your presence with these who've opened their heart and their lives up to you, Lord. There's some regrets here, Lord, some things as they look back that just burden them and that Lord, that they don't want to carry no more, Lord. So I bring them into your presence. You're the gracious, merciful God. And you called us into your presence. You will, if we confess, that you will take our sins, you'll take those burdens, you'll take those regrets. Lord, I ask you to take that, just lift it off their shoulders, lift it off their heart, erase it from their mind and set them free, Lord. We cannot change the past, but we have a wonderful future in your hands. So, Lord, reveal your future. Open their eyes of their heart to you that they may see the glory of God and the blessings of God and experience the love of God because they've been set free. Lord, for those of us who reserve some things for ourselves that have not surrendered at all, whether it's our finances, our homes, our kids, whether it's our job, whatever it is, or whatever we haven't surrendered to you, Lord, we just lay it into your presence right now. We just give it to you, Lord. And Lord, help us not go back and pick it up as we walk out the doors. Let us leave it at the feet of Jesus, who has the strength, who has the wisdom to pick it up and to set us free. We surrender to you. We submit to you all those things in our life that keep us from making the wise decision. Thank you, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.